Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, the official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron, your number one source for theories, news and discussion, and interviews from the books and the films like me, Rupert Grimm. I play Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter films. And now your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Okay, for the last time from me in quite a while, this is Pottercast number 123. Oh my god, this is the last time.
No, we're back. I'm not going away forever. This is Melissa.
It's the absolute last time.
I'm just taking a break from Pottercast for a while. I'll be back in, like, February.
Oh my god, I better take notes.
Let's see, we have an opening.
We
say hello, everybody.
Yeah.
Just say what time it is, and we say, welcome to Dumblecast.
Dumblecast. No, I'm not joining no Dumblecast.
Don't think because I'm not on it, I'm not listening.
Oh. You're listening after it gets published.
Yeah, and I still have editing stuff.
Uh-oh. Yes,
if you waste your time with that...
I know. Okay. I might as well be on the show.
Yeah, for real.
No, but no, you guys will do a great job. I'm not even quietly concerned with that. I'm just going to miss you guys.
Oh.
We don't talk to each other aside from doing this.
No. A lie.
Ever.
I only talk to you guys 3 times a day each.
Yeah. True.
You know, when you write your book, you should add up, like, the number of emails that I send you within a week.
I should do a little by the numbers in the back. Number of emails from John. Number of emails from Sue. Number of emails from people who were mean to us. Number of emails from people who were nice to us. Okay. It is Pottercast 123, and we have to take care of some business, so why don't we hear from Borders?
Borders.
Today's podcast.
John. No, it should be Melissa because it's our last time.
Oh, sad.
Okay. Haven't read Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows yet? Don't worry. Borders is here to help. Pick up your copy of this summer smash hit soon. You won't be able to hide from the spoilers forever. You can count on Borders to have it in stock and ready to take home tonight, along with the audiobook version. Even if you've read the book, the Harry Potter fun doesn't have to end yet. Visit BordersMedia.com or click on the Borders banner at the top of the Pottercast page to find out more. Okay, Sue, what's going on in the news, please?
Hey, we have great news, everyone. We have sort of photos from Hapless Prince filming, and they're not of Hagrid's hut. It's a
hey.
In the fandom. I think it's just amazing.
Well, I heard that the big spa hot tub was delayed, so they had to push those scenes back until his set was finished.
Uh-huh.
So it happens all the way out there in the islands. It takes a while to get a whirlpool out there.
I guess so. That would be kind of hard. It's kind of cold.
There's Slughorn's house, and then there's a graveyard as well, huh?
Well, it's something. We don't know what that graveyard is, but there's clearly boxes marked graveyard. I don't know what it is, but it is the scene outside of Slughorn's home when readers have sent in reports when Dumbledore and Harry are outside, that they saw one scene of them filming, you know, they're walking up to the door and stuff or leaving, and you can hear Slughorn's voice saying, I want a pay raise.
You know, maybe they're doing a graveyard to do a little visual shot reminding people of where we are, because the Gaunt House is close to the village where the Riddles are. So maybe they're going to do something to try and remind us of that scenery, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I heard that they were going to add the graveyard near the cave when the fairy come out.
No.
As Harry and Dumbledore were running away, people would come out of the ground and chase them.
Thriller! Do. Isn't that how it goes? Sorry.
The Army of the Dead.
I think so. I don't know, but one really cool thing about the reports that are coming out, that Michael Gambon is wearing like a green kind of tinted cast on his hand, so they could do like, I don't know, is that kind of like a green screen, I think?
You're talking like a chroma colored green?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll just, you know, take that out and replace it with a CG hand or whatever.
So that the fact that they're doing that gives me hope again.
Well, that's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I was like, yeah.
I mean, they'll probably alternate between, you know, having like an actual physical version of it that can be in shots that's not, you know, centered, framed on the camera and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But probably do it both ways, just like they do everything else.
It's wonderful that David Yates is taking that time and his crew with the fabulous
awesome.
Special effects crew are going to be doing that. And I just think that's brilliant.
Because they don't technically need to. It's not absolutely necessary, you know?
Yeah, I can give him a black sock to wear and like, oh, my hand. Like a little pantyhose.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they could have. Speaking of Mr. Yates, congratulations are go to him and the entire Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix team because they were nominated for a Children's BAFTA Award, which is pretty
nice.
Big deal. I think so. And they're also up for...
You think? Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. And the game
BAFTAs also, are huge.
Well, BAFTAs are the British Academy of...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's pretty...
Film and television arts.
Yeah.
Association arts.
Yes.
Something with an A.
Yeah, television arts or something like that. I don't know. That's really a pretty good big deal. And they, they're
British
up in there. I think you can vote for them later, but I think that starts on, like, November 1st or something.
That's the orange stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that starts next month. But
well, what is it now?
Orange.
Orange.
When you vote.
Like the People's Choice?
Sort of. I think so.
Sort of.
Like the blimp?
Okay. What else?
Oh, and speaking of Order of the Phoenix, the DVD launch is going to be held in London, England. On November 3rd with Miss Emma Watson in attendance at the big thing.
Only her?
I mean, she posted it on her website.
Everybody usually goes to that, don't they?
What do you mean?
Don't we have pictures of, like, the cast
at
DVD launches?
A lot of them have gone. They didn't have one for the fourth movie.
I thought it was just the Emma show.
Well, but she's the first one who said she's going.
You went to one, right? Like the
I went to the Prisoner of Azkaban one. It was fun.
How fun. I heard that Chris Rankin is unlikely to attend the DVD launch.
No, well. John.
No,
he's
unlikely
in Half-Blood Prince.
Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, Chris.
Boo. I wanted Percy, but, you know.
Well, here's my question. They have no setup for this Percy thing whatsoever, so.
I know.
I mean, they have to set it up in the beginning of movie 7 in order to resolve it. There's really not that much tension anymore.
Won't. They're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it, which is sad.
Screw it.
Yeah. Boo.
All right, Chris. Oh, well.
Well, we love you, Chris, and hopefully you'll, you know, can give us a little more, or they'll definitely write that scene in Deathly Hallows, because we love Chris Rankin. And I'm saying that blatantly. We love you. There you go.
Yes. I'm going to send him a Valentine this year.
Oh, you're going to sing?
Do that.
It's going to be a little Cupid with a white beard.
Okay, Patrick Doyle, this is some serious news from Patrick Doyle.
Yes.
Oh, big news.
I have to say, this is a very lovely article. Patrick Doyle has battled against leukemia, and he is in since recovery, but there was a very moving interview with him about his struggle against while he was going through it. He has an aggressive form of it. A lot of people actually do not have a good survivor rate of this disease, this form of the disease. And during his treatments, he received some help from people in the Harry Potter films, including some much-needed help from Mr. Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson, who showed up wearing wigs and speaking in Scottish accents while he was in the hospital. I mean...
Aww.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Wait, they were speaking in British accents?
They were in Scottish accents. It said Scottish.
Scottish accents. Okay, because I was going to say, they all have British accents.
No, but Patrick Doyle is Scottish, and he was in the hospital when he was suffering terribly, and I can't imagine. But he is great friends with Mr. Kenneth Branagh, and he's composed several scores to Mr. Branagh's films, like most notably Henry V is one of my favorite scores he's ever did. But Ken is a big friend of his, and did a lot for him. And so they're holding a charity concert this past weekend in London, England, and Alan and Emma and East Branagh is hosting this thing. We're all going to be there at this thing. So I'm hopeful by the time you hear this, we'll have had some reports from that. But I just think that's awesome how these people rally around other people involved in the films. You know, just remember that it's not about...
It's like a big family.
It is. You know?
That's great.
And if you haven't had the chance, links are on our website. I urge you to read the article because it's very, very well done. It's really good.
Cool.
But speaking of people suffering, Lupin wasn't really suffering too much, according to Alfonso Cuarón. He was a gay junkie, right?
I don't understand
that. That's the best segue ever.
I don't know.
That was funny. but okay.
A gay junkie.
Certainly people have thought that Lupin was gay before, but definitely, I never
junkie?
Got junkie.
That's terrible. He's the most educated of the Marauders.
This doesn't mean you're not a junkie. It's just, I never got... drug user out of Lupin. You know, it's weird.
Oh, he has to take the Wolfsbane every month.
Well, that's not necessary. You know.
Yeah, well, he's a junkie with Wolfsbane.
But you know, they never even mention the Wolfsbane in the film. There's no such thing as Wolfsbane in the film.
Exactly.
This is true.
So, he's just
there
a
might
junkie.
Have been at one point. We never heard of drugs, really, in the Wizarding World, did we? Other than a fire whiskey?
There's some stuff that they're passing around for staying alert on tests that Hermione confiscates.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Dragon
yeah.
dung.
You
know, yeah.
Like dried dragon beetle
dung.
Twigs or something.
Oh, yeah. Not
dragon
dung.
Well, by the spoonful.
No. But, you know, I mean, but that, there's the, and we have video of Mr. Sewell saying this, too. But, I mean, just the idea, you know, Alfonso Cuarón, he gets so much abuse sometimes. Even though I think...
I know.
Just, I don't know.
I want to add 100 shrunken heads and make a defense teacher a homosexual junkie.
No. I just, Mr. Sewell, he was really surprised by the revelations. Oh. And the fallout on the revelations still continues, even though there's other news. And we actually had a pretty good... Melissa, you had a pretty good interview, I thought.
Thank you.
Something about helping us understand this whole issue.
Well, we interviewed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation because they could provide perspective with how to deal with this in a responsible manner. They specialize in homosexual images and words in the media. Let me just clarify. We're not presenting sides of an issue as to whether it was right that J.K. Rowling said that Dumbledore's gay or whether she should have or whether she shouldn't have. That's not what we're dealing with on the site. The fact is that she has said this. So now we're looking at how we deal with that responsibly, and that's what we're trying to help our readers do. So there's been some call for like a response, but there is no opposing viewpoint unless there's a different and opposite viewpoint that also is about how to deal with this revelation responsibly that does not talk about, well, she shouldn't have said it, because that's not the issue. That's not what we're...
Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't there the option of just saying, okay, whatever, and then not thinking about it?
There is that option. That would be lovely, but clearly we can't do that.
I mean, it's like, what difference is this really than saying, Hagrid never found love either. Oh my god, Hagrid, giant didn't find love. It's going to change everything, too. It doesn't change the book any more than that fact.
Nope. So we have a lot of discussion on this in the mailbag tonight, so let's...
We do, far too much discussion about it.
Yeah, far too much. So we have just a big, big mailbag. Kristen's going to join us for the mailbag, and we will see you at the end of the show.
Woo-hoo!
Mail's here.
Bit early for mail, isn't it?
But I never get mail.
Let's open it.
Mail,
the mail's here.
Mail,
oh, great. Thanks.
Hey, everyone. It's time for Mailbag with your hosts.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
We're all
everybody.
Here,
Squee.
Everybody remembers Special K, Kristen, of course.
Hey, all.
It's been a dozen or so episodes.
No,
just
more than
a few.
That.
Oof.
It's been since before the tour, probably.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, even before that.
Before Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows.
Stop.
Actually,
yep.
just Deathly Hallows.
Just Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
Were we doing this around Half-Blood Prince time?
Right after Half-Blood Prince came out. We started about 6 weeks after Half-Blood Prince
came
out.
Oh, my Donamay.
My Donamay?
Yeah.
That's a new one. So did we have anything that caused a flurry of mail this week?
Let's think.
So married a muggle.
So married a muggle with blonde hair.
Oh,
how could she?
Can you imagine the scandal?
I can't believe the controversy that comment generated.
I know. It's insane. And
you know,
think
there's all
that,
this interracial dating. Nobody said anything about that.
No. It's insane. I mean, even our joking about her marrying a muggle has garnered some... nasty feedback. I don't even know where we get off these days.
Yeah,
no, I know.
I get it.
How dare we try to make, you know, light of
anything.
People's not making light of things.
We can never make light of anything. We can only report the news, and we aren't allowed to comment on it anymore.
We're actually going to replace ourselves with robots.
Yes.
Who have no opinions whatsoever on anything, and are way more entertaining,
but,
I'm sure.
But no robots can squeeze, so I don't want to be a robot. I pass.
I'm going to program my Roomba to answer the mail so that I don't have to be involved at all.
A lot of people are hacking their Roombas
you
lately.
You have a Roomba?
I have a Roomba.
I
saw somebody
Roomba.
Who can control the Roomba with their Wii controller.
Oh,
no way.
You're kidding!
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that's fabulous!
I want to buy a Wii and a Roomba just so I could try to do that.
I have both.
You have a Wii.
I've got to figure this out. You know, here's the problem with the Roomba. You buy one to save time, and then you and the cat spend 45 minutes watching it because it's fascinating. And you don't save any time. You could vacuum and you know, the whole place in 10 minutes.
I think I'm buying Muchka a Roomba for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to, fix it. So every time you touch it, it gives you, a static poke, like a static charge.
and I'm going to put cat food on top of it and just watch what happens.
You know,
that's fine because she's actually smarter than you are, and she'll learn in a minute, and then I will have a clean house. So thank you. Please do that. Please, yes. Please keep to that plan.
Okay.
I'm always
okay.
Fascinated by when I come on these shows. I hadn't realized what you were talking about was like a vacuuming equipment, but then that's kind of, I was thinking the Roomba, but I guess I'm really out of it.
What's the Roomba? Is that like a dance?
Yeah. Never mind.
No.
I'm out of it, old and unhip. But I'm apparently all aware enough to understand that when we talk about Professor Dumbledore being gay, he's gay. No better than to talk about it on Leaky because that's
don't get Kristen excited now.
Where did you hear that he was gay? I haven't heard this. Sorry, I'm just
it's shocking.
It's been a long week.
I heard about it on Geraldo.
Didn't they have Dumbledore on?
That's where I get my news.
Yeah, Fox is always great for that.
Oh, man. So I can't even. But I don't know. Just ever since Joe made that announcement, I have been absolutely shocked at both the comments, that the variety of them, but so many hateful ones. So I just can't even. Mind-boggling emails to us.
Yeah.
I can't
even figure out how I feel about it anymore. My feelings are so mixed, not even just because of what the hell it was, but the fact that how much it overshadowed of how many more awesome things she said that night,
mm-hmm.
particularly the fact that Harry was not technically a Horcrux.
I know.
That should be fandom-wide freaking news.
Yeah,
it should be.
Well,
not everybody's caring about it.
I guarantee there are places it's not even being reported.
Well, naturally.
Yeah.
But all everybody wants to talk about is, you know, how, you know, irate they are or whatever.
Well, you know what's making me insane? Actually, one of the many things making me insane. Why did she have to announce that he was gay? Well, she didn't announce he was gay. Someone asked if he'd ever been in love, and she responded to the question. It wasn't some grand announcement. You know, it was just if she responded to a question.
It's not like the governor of New Jersey having a press conference, okay? This is not that. She was asked a question.
So it wasn't like she went out of her way to write it up on her site. What's hilarious to me is that so many people think it's, she's just trying to sell more books. She doesn't care about the reader she has now. She's trying to find a new audience and try to reach out to the gay community who didn't. This is the best part. The gay community who weren't formally interested in Harry Potter.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Did you guys not see that? I responded to it, I think.
Where have all these, I mean, every, no offense to the straight men in the fandom, I know you're out there, but every male I've met, so almost, has been gay of Harry Potter fans. There are so many gay Harry Potter fans. Where have people been living?
You know what I loved about that question, too, is when he said the gay community, and I thought, does that mean, like, am I the straight community? I mean, do I need to put this kind of thought into my book purchases from here on out? I just thought they were good stories.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've gotten emails from people who say, you know, this is against my faith, but I'm not going to knock anybody about it. I just think it's wrong. I wish she hadn't done it, but, you know, whatever. I've never complained about an email like that. I've never deleted it. I've certainly never nastily answered an email like that. We've left those comments on the site.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we're getting stuff full of this hatred.
Yeah.
These are people who claim to love and preach and understand fully and embody the messages of tolerance that she has in these.
Well,
are they reading?
You know, and not to turn this into a big religious discussion, but some of the hate-filled emails from people citing Christianity as their excuse for sending it. I'm not a studied Christian, but I have friends who are very, very well versed in the Bible, and nowhere in there did Jesus say, hey, you guys go out and tell people you're my buddy and you can tell them to go, you know, tell them they're going to hell because I give you permission. No. And yet they use it just floors me how anyone can call themselves a Christian when they turn around and tell everyone else they're going to hell.
Yeah. There was one fantastic poster on Leaky, and I want to mention him by name. His name is Brat Pack. And he basically said,
you know, he's a very strict Christian. She says.
We met her on our tour.
We did. Yes. Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Hi.
Yes.
And she just says, you know, like his message, meaning God, is you treat others with respect, you tolerate others, you're kind to others. That's the message. That includes whether the person is a murderer or, you know, anything else. I'm not even going to put homosexual next to that because some people will think I mean that. But if you remember, the person who tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II, he went and forgave him. This is why, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I get really frustrated because our inboxes are making us crazy right now.
Can we say this too? This is very clear. We are not advocating one thing over another. We're not saying, oh, you know, this. We're just trying to say, Joe has said this. Please, let's learn more about this, how we can go from here. Personally, for me, I've learned a lot more than I have in the past, and I find this all has been very educational, and I don't understand how the people, I mean, a long time ago, the Bible said that women really shouldn't, you know, do anything out of the home, too. And,
yeah.
You know, and yet here we all are, and we accept that in our society. We've had to we're still overcoming racial problems in this country, and I don't understand how you can focus on all the negative things on if you want to try and talk about the Bible instead of focusing on the good. And I just,
yeah.
And that's what I think the whole underlying theme of the books has been about learning to overcome the intolerance and the prejudice I don't understand how you can claim to be a Harry Potter fan and just be so vehemently, I'm not saying you have to agree with it. I'm just saying there's so much bile and so much malice in the
right.
comments, and I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, people are welcome to own problems. I do find it interesting people search and pull out the bits that say homosexuality is bad and preach that, but they're okay with the bit about, I mean, doesn't Leviticus say that if you wear mixed fibers, you're going to, I don't know, go to hell and, you know.
You're the West Wing fan among us, Kristen.
Yes.
Thank you very good.
You can stone your daughter for certain things. I mean,
yeah,
I
could sell her into slavery.
Hey,
there's a fantastic
it's in the Bible.
West Wing clip.
We need to start doing that. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And it's so funny because I sat down. I do this to relax. I watch all the episodes of The West Wing,
mm-hmm.
and I watched the very next one that was on my DVD player was the first one I watched after all this was that episode where the president basically tells off this radio host, and he says to her, you know, I like how you say homosexuality is an abomination, and she says, well, I don't say that, the Bible does, and they do like chapter and verse,
yeah.
And he goes, right, so tell me, I want to sell my daughter into slavery. How much money do you think she gets? And you know, my chief of staff insists on working on the Sabbath. Do I have to kill him myself, or do I have to call the police? Like, you know, points out
yeah.
all the other things the Bible says that we have no problem with. But as soon as somebody says homosexuality, which, by the way, has been around since the dawn of time, you know, this is not like people just wacky people in the 21st century decided to start sleeping with the same sex.
Right.
Yeah, and I do not mean at all to. I have the deepest respect for people of faith. And I do not mean to sound flippant of anyone's thoughts and beliefs, and I have a lot of respect for people who've put a lot of thought into it. I've just spent the last 3 days, though, looking at hate-filled email after hate-filled email, and it's just been very – but you know what? In the middle of those, we've received some from, you know, some
– beautiful ones.
Some beautiful – from some young folks who are like – you don't know what it means to me as a young gay person to know that this man I worship my whole life is gay and it doesn't matter. It's not, it's so irrelevant to the character. It's just, you know, the people who write in with, I'm like, sorry, I'm getting incoherent. I'm so,
we're all a little bit,
the people,
about it.
The people who've written in with, there shouldn't be any sexuality in these books at all. And it's like, hello.
Hi.
Did you read the books?
There's sexuality all over the books. Everywhere.
Yeah.
There was this person, when I was on MSNBC for this, and I was in the green room, and there was this very sharply dressed man. He looked like a lawyer. He was there to talk about Iran. Okay, so he's sitting there to talk about the Iran nuclear minister, and I'm there to talk about Harry Potter, which, you know, just shocks me. So he had this very nice suit on, going through his briefcase, and he asked me what I was there for, and I told him. And he said, well, I just don't understand why she had to assign Dumbledore a sexuality. And I just looked at him. I said, everybody has a sexuality. What? And he just paused and went, oh, yeah, okay, I guess you're right. Well, yes, I'm right? You know. But like Kristen said, we don't knock anybody. I mean, if your religious beliefs have brought you to believe that homosexuality is wrong, hey, that's great. That's fine. That's your belief. But please just don't be hateful about it.
You know, and we've received some wonderfully worded, respectful emails of, this is my belief, but I believe everyone should be, you know, everyone has to come to their own beliefs. You know, and I respect the tone you've taken on the show. Although after listening to this, they're probably going to go, you know what? Change my mind.
I'm sorry. I wish you could read some of the emails that you write and don't send.
Oh, Kristen is so funny. She's so witty. And some of these people who just send us the most vile things impossible. And yet, Kristen always manages to find something very humorous to make us laugh.
Oh.
I mean, there are times I'm stunned when I open up and I see these mails. And part of me just like kind of panics. And I think, oh, I can't believe that someone could say something so hateful.
No, I know.
And then Kristen has this way of turning things around. It just makes it, and it's just wonderful. And
I wish the guy who said he burned his books, you congratulated him for using good kindling.
Please tell that story. That's a great email.
Great.
Someone wrote in and said, okay, here's actually the email. Let me find it. Harry Potter books have been cremated at this house. For goodness sake, this is a kid's book. Why do we have to bring this or any other sexual orientation into the story? Goodbye, Harry Potter. Okay, two issues with this. First of all, I have a hard time believing this person actually took 7 hardback Harry Potter books and burned them. Because do you know how long that would take? You know, I think they think they're being, you know, metaphorical. And then, again, you know, there shouldn't be any sexual orientation in the book. How much of it has to deal with romantic feelings for other, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, I try not to answer some of these things, but in this case, I didn't know. I'm like, well, clearly they don't want me to, I don't know if she wanted me to argue with her or what, but I said it was a shame she didn't wait till it was colder because they'd probably make good firewood. I don't.
So awful.
It's funny. You know, they still bought the books, so I just,
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't, none of this changes the books.
Right.
That's what I don't understand why everybody's getting all upset about. This changes everything. I'm never going to let my kids read these books again. Oh, my gosh. But she didn't go back and, like, revise everything and, you know, add in Dumbledore kissing scenes or anything like this. This is... after the fact knowledge that she would get on a book tour from people who are really big fans that want to keep learning more about their characters, it doesn't change any of the original material. You're fully capable of ignoring everything she says after the books and just enjoy the books for what they are. That doesn't change the dang books.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's another question, John, that a lot of people have been talking about. When does an author shut up? When is it not hers anymore? You know, we ask these questions. We're fans. We want to know. You know, that doesn't mean that if you want to write a fan fiction with Dumbledore as a straight man, that somebody's going to come down with a hammer and beat it out of your computer. Like, come on. You know?
You know, but on the other hand, a friend of mine made a good point, and she doesn't want to hear anymore. And she said part of it is it frustrates her because the last book really rekindled her interest in the series. She kind of been on hiatus, you know, came back and she went off to discuss it and said something and immediately got, oh, well, you know, J.K. Rowling said in this public talk that blah, blah, blah is true. So what you're saying is wrong. And she said, you know, I don't want to have to read every transcript of every talk she gives post-book to be a fan. And I feel like I'm getting to that point where I have to read it. I have to read all these transcripts to have all this information, and I don't want to. The book should stand on their own. Her thoughts. And
I think that's also fans' fault, too. When we hear somebody say that, like, we shouldn't be like, oh, you're wrong. According to the books, they're not wrong. This is all extraneous information.
Right.
Authors aren't usually asked all this, you know? Very few authors get a book tour like this
and have
this phenomenal interest, you know?
But
I mean,
if people didn't want to know these things, then they wouldn't have filled up Carnegie Hall and 4 other venues with people packed to the brim and, you know, emails about it every day.
So I hate to see the emails she must be getting now. If we're getting emails that we're getting,
I just can't
imagine. I'd feel terrible opening up that mail sack over there.
You know, I hate to do this, but if you were to compare this to Tolkien, who wrote volumes after he published Lord of the Rings, and there's all this material, and yet a lot of people didn't bother to read it because a lot of it's just so deep and stuff. It didn't change the basic story. It just gave more information. And
right.
Just, you know?
Although, can I just say someone wrote in and said, I can't believe she did this. Tolkien would never make one of his characters gay. And I read I thought, wasn't Frodo gay? And I had to stop think, because I just thought that was canon that Frodo was gay. I just assumed he... You know, I didn't really think about it. I just, you know, Frodo's gay. That's just the way I thought of it. Now 100 million Lord of the Rings fans are going to email me and correct me.
How dare you?
Yeah. I mean,
but so it's a great point that you make about Tolkien. Is it different if you write a follow-up book as it is? I haven't read The Hobbit. I haven't read anything other than those three books. Mm. And if I want to write a fan fiction tomorrow that talks about, you know, Sam and Frodo going to be on Double Dare, that's my choice.
And you know what? It exists. You're right, Melissa. It does. Even all these other...
Double Dare does?
No.
Double Dare fan fiction?
No, I'm just saying that they still write the fan fiction. That's so funny. They still write the fan fiction even though these other source books are out there, you know? It just doesn't make that... Yeah. That character is still yours in your head. You can still... Joe herself said in Toronto... She said, when a child will read these books, they will see it as a close friendship. You know, maybe an adult will see it otherwise. But it, to them, those characters are still what are in that book. And you can still take them and in your head. You know, I mean, in my mind, maybe Sirius Black's going to come swoop me off and we go live happily in the Bailey world, you know, in Hufflepuff land. I don't know. But that's just my thing. And it's nothing. She's, you know, I mean... I'm sorry.
I think it actually was pretty good that she left it. She stuck to what was important to the actual story of Harry Potter in the book and didn't introduce such a big distraction such as Dumbledore's love life.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. You know, this leads me to a question. I was asked earlier this week, well, what do you think Harry would have said if Dumbledore had told him this? I'm like, well, one, I don't think that he would have noticed it too much because Harry was not like a really observant fellow and just
understatement.
Harry never would have noticed.
And in
so why would he have?
I mean, he wouldn't have.
She's presenting the hypothetical. But they're presenting the hypothetical.
Yeah.
He could have said to him when talking about Grindelwald, well, did you love him? You know?
Yeah.
But here's my question. I want to know what you guys think. Do you guys think that it was an issue there? Do you think people knew that Dumbledore was gay? Do you think that in J.K. Rowling's world, just like a lot of other prejudices, it doesn't really exist as a prejudice?
I don't know. That's a good question.
In her world, a lot of things, almost everything she introduced, there's prejudices among certain groups.
Not really, because interracial dating, nobody bats an eye. The only prejudices we read about there are financial and the wizarding content. I mean, I'm sure there's others, but...
Lupin...
But they're all different. They're different prejudices than the ones we have. It seems that the ones that we have aren't presented in the books.
Melissa, you mentioned interracial dating. America has many, many hang-ups. And historically, that has been one. I was under the impression that this is not a big deal, as it should be, in, you know, Great Britain, which is where the books are set. I don't know that necessarily the characters... I don't know what I'm saying. Never mind.
No, I think you're on the right point because the books are set in England. Much of Europe, I mean, most of the people that I've talked to that live in Europe or in England are just baffled at this reaction. They can't believe
I will tell you that there is definitely, I've seen and experienced an Indian prejudice in England from white English people and Harry dating Padma, you know, or whoever he went to the ball with, you know.
Well, and Melissa, I have to tell you, I had a friend in college who, she was from Chicago and thought it was appalling that the way black people had historically been treated in the South, but then when turn around and talk about the damn Italians in Chicago. And, you know, another friend who did the same thing about California. People slam other people for their prejudices, and then they have their own. you know, or Catholics, or it just, there's like a whole, you know, blonde Southerners from Kentucky. There's just a whole, you can go on and on.
Yeah. Well, God, if we have any blonde Southerners from Kentucky on this show, I'm quitting.
We don't have any Italians around, do we? I mean, I'm not aware of any.
Oh, let's think. Who's somebody said
anybody
meatballs on fire?
A lot?
Who could go?
Well, okay, here's another thing, the Italian thing. Somebody started talking about whether J.K. Rowling should have written him as gay, and that really infuriated me, because how do you write somebody as gay? You don't. That's like saying you should write somebody as Italian, and that's why you get all these stereotypical mob stuff. Thank you, Sopranos. You get all this mob or blue-collar craftspeople is all we are. Blue-collar craftspeople are mob. And I'm sorry, but I'm a strong and educated and free-minded Italian-American woman, and I rankle that this is all we see.
Yep.
So if you don't write somebody as Italian, as gay, as Southern. It's just something about them.
Yeah.
Can I say to you, why are people more upset that Dumbledore was fascinated with the dark side than he was with a man?
I know. I'm sorry. I just think that maybe my perspective is a little bit off, but
I don't know. I just think.
I find men endlessly fascinating. Yeah. I completely understand.
Maybe I'm just too plot-focused or something, but I thought that was fairly significant, you know?
I'm with you, though, Sue, because like I said, everybody is so hung up on this stuff and having 3,000 thread, you know, post-threads about all of this, and it's like, hey, wait a second, I talked about all this other canon, says Joe. This is what I came here for. You know, where's all the threads on this stuff?
See, I'm personally waiting
to
have a whole segment with John Noe on how a Hufflepuff is now running the Leaky Cauldron. I'm just saying, a Hufflepuff. That's groundbreaking news.
Oh, my God.
Sue, I'm going to be looking behind my back to see when you're going to try to make this prophecy.
Well, you know, I think that was...
I didn't think about that.
You didn't think about that?
Running the... No, I didn't make that connection there.
Oh, my God. Anything that night, when all the revelation and all the whooping and hollering I was doing that whole evening, I literally shot out of my chair and was like, my arms were in the air just whooping. I swear she looked up at us when she said that. And I thought, I remember turning around and looking right at you, Melissa. I remember looking at your face because I was just like,
I just had my head in my hands because I knew I would never, ever hear the end of it.
I remember reading a funny comment from somebody who's like, why does Neville have to marry Hannah Abbott? He didn't ever even talk to her at school. That doesn't make any sense.
Funny people don't talk to the person they end up marrying.
I know, it's like, you can only marry somebody you were friends with when you were in first, second, and all these grades. Come on. Don't forget the rules.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, amazing. You're right, John. You're so right. We've learned so much, canon. I just, you know, why are we getting these questions about this stuff? I don't know, but still.
Well, that's why we have podcasts for, because this is probably the last week we're going to hit on this hard.
I know. You know, and I really do. I feel like I've vented and said things that would be offensive to people I don't at all intend to offend. And to clarify, we've had the majority of the emails we've received are people sending us news who clearly think this is not a big deal. And we've received a lot of supportive emails that really why did she do this? This is wrong. They really are in the minority of the email we've
received.
It's just that, you know, all of us... I know all of us online have been forwarding stuff back and forth with, can you believe this? Can you believe this? It's just, it's been hard to read this stuff.
Did you guys see the press conference in Toronto?
Mm-hmm. We have video.
I was really angry and ashamed of reporters at that press conference in Toronto, I have to say. Because I kind of understand hounding on the Dumbledore thing in a press conference. Like, I get it, it's big news. But the girl at the end, I don't know what she was from, but she was, you know, J.K. Rowling she kept on it, and J.K. Rowling said, well, it's the end of the... She goes, well, I don't understand. And she said, well, if you were an author, you'd understand. The end is the end of the books. And so she said to her, well, I guess then the end for you is a news conference at Carnegie Hall. And, like, my mouth dropped. I couldn't believe she had just said that.
Oh, my...
You know?
What?
She did.
Yeah.
What did Joe say?
Joe looked like completely like she didn't... She's like, no, I don't understand you. It wasn't a news conference. A fan asked a question.
Yeah.
And I answered... the question.
Oh, my God. That pisses me off.
Yeah, I was really angry. I was real angry.
Wow.
So, boo to that reporter.
Yeah. If you want to watch this, we do have that video in our gallery, and it's just...
That's like,
I mean,
That's like pretty much telling, you know, the most successful person in the world, oh, you're done.
Right.
I say so because I work for this crappy news channel.
Wow.
But
oh my
such
God.
A funny, you know, well then I guess for you the end is a news conference at Carnegie Hall. I guess for you the end is at the end of your books, and I guess I'm just going to insult you at a news conference that's going to be televised on the internet. Like,
yeah.
Just, yeah.
Oh man.
Well, I just, you know, how unprofessional.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Ridiculous.
Hey guys, it's been a half hour.
Oh my goodness.
I know. How many
Okay. Well, here's just some that I, you know, honestly don't remember some of the answers to. So I thought I'd read them so you all can help me respond to them. What happened to Grimmauld Place and Creature? Since Harry inherited them from Sirius, does he live in Grimmauld Place? Did he set Creature free because of Hermione and Spew? Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if she said in the end of the book. I'm a bad fan.
Did we ever find out where Harry and, you know, Ginny and the kids live?
No. No. I don't think she said that, has she?
I think they just live at King's Cross.
Oh, Lord.
That's the most place we've ever seen them.
That's it.
I imagine them living off in a nice kind of like country place, kind of quiet and away from everything. I don't think Harry would want to live in the middle of London.
He wouldn't move back to Godric's Hollow and shack up at the place where the snake lady was at?
I don't know. That place is kind of marked by tragedy.
That place is scary.
Yeah, you know.
A freaking snake came out of her neck.
Thanks, John.
I hate that scene.
That scene is so dramatic.
Oh,
my son is still
God.
Upset about it. He doesn't care too much about this Dumbledore thing. Didn't really faze him all that much. But that snake scene is pretty bad business, you know?
What cover, the foreign cover, has the big snake with the lady's head on it? That cracks me up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I forget the name of that country. We
had
that
in Ukrainian. Our gallery. It's the Ukrainian.
It's
Ukrainian
one.
Amazing.
Talk about getting lost in translation, though. They have the lady head on a snake.
Yeah.
And the shell cottage is a giant seashell shaped like a... Oh, I love that cover. It cracks me up.
Okay. What's next?
I like what you said. I think they live in the country.
Yeah, I think he's sort of remote.
Okay. Here's a question. If the invisibility cloak is one of the Deathly Hallows, then it should be unique.
Uh-huh.
How did Barty Crouch, played by Scottish hottie David Tennant, in book 4, have one of his own?
Oh, I know.
Okay, answer. Because I don't know.
It's not, the one like Harry's that doesn't fade or get worn down and is impenetrable is unique. But that they mentioned other ones that are made from like Jabberwock feathers or some feathers, demiguys.
Demiguys.
And they get hardened over time. They become opaque. They're like cheap imitations of the real thing, which is what Harry.
Okay.
People point out many times on the books how nice Harry's invisibility cloak is.
Oh, that's true.
It's all special.
Okay.
Do you think if you stained it with like food, you could just put it in the wash?
No.
Or would it not matter? Or would that food not be transparent?
Is it drip dry? Do we know how he washes it?
I don't know. Does that Evanesco spell clean up like laundry? Do they ever do laundry? I don't know.
You think it's Scourgify?
But
what if something permanently stained that thing? Would that stain be the only thing visible when Harry's underneath it? You have this floating stain.
If it lasted thousands of years without a stain, there's probably something protecting it.
If it smells like cranberry juice on it?
Yeah.
Cranberry juice would be lethal.
Special thing that we don't know about. Yeah. Stengar.
Well,
but
the washing thing, I mean, he and Ron are running around all over the place under this thing. And, you know, like, you get hot and sweaty. I mean,
well, sure.
You would think if you can smell it coming, it doesn't matter if you can't see it coming. I mean,
Awesome. I wonder if it does have odor guard. That's great.
I mean, we know that there's laundry because we know the house elves, one of their responsibilities picking up the laundry and off the floor. So there has to be some means to do it. You can't imagine Harry would send his cloak off to be cleaned by Tommy and his friends.
I can't imagine this is not the topic of conversation this week on All the Fantasy.
I know.
Yes, it is.
Imagine they clean their clothes. And Dumbledore's gay.
Sue, I love that idea. Like they advertise the invisibility cloak now with new odor guard.
It's so right for the Daily Prophet. That's such a great little thing. This Jo could put on like her little rumor. You know, she has on her site with all the little ads. You know. Oh God, I love it.
I'm just picturing that little stuffed animal Smuggles bear cuddling up with the invisibility cloak.
Oh,
he's soft and
nice. Okay. I can't see myself.
And I keep yourself invisible at the same time.
Yeah. I like Deathly Hallows.
All right, next.
Okay.
Want to do a voicemail?
Yeah, voicemail. What's it say?
Hello, Pottercasters. This is Kumar from Hong Kong. I've been listening since episode one, and I love your show. My question is about book five, at the part when Harry and his friends are at the Vale, the Department of Mysteries. Harry, Ginny, Neville, and Luna are all entranced by the Vale. I can understand that Harry, Luna, and even Neville have lost someone close to them, and so they can hear these voices from the Vale. But why would Ginny be hearing them if that was the case? Why can't Ron and Hermione hear the voices if Ginny can hear them too? I was just wondering. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thanks for taking my question. Love the show. Keep up the good work. You guys rock.
Why hasn't anybody asked her that? Because that's a big thing. Who's Ginny known? Where's Ginny known death?
Hi.
At that time, at that point?
Book two, she almost died.
Yeah.
Well, she almost died. Doesn't mean she's seen death before.
Right. I mean, she's gotten close.
Yeah, but I think close counts.
Yeah, she got close. It's not like seeing the festival. It doesn't have to have the same rules. She got close to death. She probably just feels a pull or a kinship or something.
Plus, she had the evil dark lord who lives and breathes death inside of her. I mean, that probably has a pretty strong impact, I'm thinking.
Kristen, what do you think?
I actually go with John on this. Really?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's like literally you gotta have experienced it, and I mean.
Yeah, there's no loopholes.
She was
getting possessed by Basilisk Caverns.
But there's also no real rule to it. It's never been explained, so we can't apply the festival rule to the Vale.
Well, we can. She hasn't said we can.
If we want to.
If we want to.
I mean, it's conveniently works that it's, you know, Harry and Luna.
Yeah, but you can't just
Ginny
be like.
Ginny is a wild card.
I say that the Vestal rule applies to the Vale, you know.
I call on the Vestal rule.
I always thought the Vestal, you know, the Vale thing had to be more perceptive to people around you. I mean, just, I don't know, more sensitive. Like Luna, man. I mean, she's more in tune with the otherworldly things, you know.
Was Ginny in the car with them in Prisoner of Azkaban when the Dementor came to the door? Harry passed out.
And she looked as bad as Harry felt, remember?
Yeah.
I have to be with book two.
I say we apply the Thestral rule. Actually, I think we should post that as a headline tomorrow in Leaky Cauldron. Pottercast aside, Thestral rule applies.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
We should just start declaring canon for that.
Yeah.
You know, she bowed down to us after all. That should come with some kind of perk.
We'll forward it to her. Hey, Joe, we hope you don't mind, but...
I thought I declared Horcrux was not the correct
answer. We're like, no, we say you're wrong.
We overrule you.
She's going to be like, can I take my nice words back? Can I take them back, please?
No, Miss Joe. I want some more voicemails.
A voicemail or an email?
We've had two emails. Let's have two voicemails.
Hi, this is Mira. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on whether if Harry had been kissed by a Dementor, do you think Harry Horcrux would be completely destroyed? Okay, thank you. Oh yeah, rest in peace, Dobby.
Which, by the way, so let's get the good word out there, it actually wasn't a Horcrux.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let us say this again. The human being is the opposite of a Horcrux. Therefore, Harry cannot be a Horcrux. He's just conveniently referred to one, as this has never happened before in the Wizarding world, even in the rare world of Horcruxes. So, there. But, to answer the question, presumably, if the Dementor sucked out Harry's soul, the soul was what Voldemort's soul was latched onto, so they could both come out at once. I guess that would make for one ultra-pissed-off Dementor. Do you think the Dementor, like, absorbs anything from the particular soul that it takes?
Hmm.
Like, if it's a soul of a particularly powerful wizard, like, say, Dumbledore's or
Voldemort's,
or you know, Voldemort's, but Voldemort's soul is a mess, so his probably wouldn't do much good to anybody. But say it took out Dumbledore's soul. Is that, like, an ultra-powerful, you know, glowing Dementor at that point?
You know what? There's actually a deeper theological thing there. I wondered if because there's such a goodness in people's soul, I believe that they're
I personally just, maybe it's my personal belief, that there's a pureness and goodness inside some people, and if an evil thing tried to attach it, that maybe...
It would hurt?
It would hurt the Dementor or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the Final Fantasy game series, there is a spell of holy that when you use it against a dark creature, it has, you know, it hurts them as an attack.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a really
methodology has been used before.
Uh-huh.
I believe it. So Dementors would only, therefore, enjoy the souls of bad people.
Well, maybe not so much bad people, but I just think if there's a part of a still of goodness inside someone that has had this happen to them, that maybe that works against the Dementors. Because they are, in my opinion, an evil sort of kind of not good thing in many ways.
Sure,
so
totally.
I can't imagine them ingesting something that's good would affect them positively.
Do you think the ridiculous spell would have an effect on a Dementor?
Would it know how to laugh? I don't know. That's a good thing. I don't know.
That is interesting.
Because
it'll probably go right through it.
You think it'll go right through it?
Yeah.
You don't think that they are physical enough to take a spell no matter what it is? Can you leg lock a Dementor?
Doesn't have legs, John.
They do in one of the movies.
I say yes.
No.
Again, we should post this as canon tomorrow.
Yes.
It's just like, yes, canon.
Yeah.
Can Dementor? Canon. Because, I mean, the Patronus is just kind of like pushed around the area of the Dementor. I don't know if you could throw like a physical spell at a Dementor. Because then why can't you AK a Dementor?
Yeah, probably not.
What if you use the Dementor to block the AK curses? Like in battle, you just kept the Dementor near you and just used it as a shield.
Well, I think it would probably. Melissa, did you say I'd go through them?
I don't think it's necessarily a living creature. It's an embodiment of some sort of thing. I don't know. Maybe not.
But it can pick up
people.
Yeah,
that's true.
It has. It's physical enough to lift Harry off the ground, you know, in Order of the Phoenix film world.
Mm-hmm.
So if it can influence matter, then it's on the same phase as the actual other people.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, matter, these guys are grown from decay and death. Like, it's a weird, different thing.
Yeah.
They suck souls. Like, you're not really talking in concrete things. You know?
It's all physics. So I don't care
physics.
If you suck souls.
All right, we've really been going for more than 40 minutes, so we need to
push it along.
Can you read one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question about Harry Potter that I believe completely unravels the entire plot of Goblet of Fire.
Well, here we go.
Oh, God, don't say it. Don't ruin it for me.
If anything can be made into a portkey, then why on earth did Barty Jr., played by Dr.
No.
Hubati, David Tennant, choose the Triwizard Cup?
You're just picking all the Barty
Cup. What? Yeah, I am.
You're just
picking
all the Barty
Cup. I just want to mention David Tennant. I have a huge crush. Why did Barty Jr. choose the Triwizard Cup and then begin a series of events designed to force Harry to touch the cup? It would have been far easier to, say, enchant a book or Harry's glasses or his broom or a doorknob or anything else.
That would have been a far stupider
shorter
book.
Yeah, well, that's
a shorter book.
That's the first thought that came to my mind. It's just, well, that'd be a really short book.
That's why I loved her answer to the Dumbledore portrait question. She goes, well, to be honest, I wouldn't have really had a plot. You know? Great. But also, the plan was for Moody's cover not to be blown. It would have blown Moody's cover right away if Harry disappeared.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I always had like a sort of a secret, I guess not anymore because it doesn't make any more sense, but that he was going to make that cup into a Horcrux with killing Harry.
Oh,
that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Just personal theory.
Yeah.
That's a good theory.
I mean, Voldemort likes the dramatics and all that stuff, too.
It's all about the big show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And making a portkey, it seems like you have to have specific instructions and permissions for, and I think that maybe you can't just make a portkey at Hogwarts whenever you want.
I think
Dumbledore has to let down certain guards.
You'd think he'd know, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Does the Ministry, is the Ministry aware of portkeys happening? Because Dumbledore makes a portkey in Phoenix when he sends the kids to find Arthur. But, you know, when he makes a portkey in front of the minister and at the ministry, he's like, you can't be making portkeys in front of me. He's like, what?
Right.
I'm Dumbledore. Back off. And he backs off.
Well, yeah, it seems like something
you need
to
mention. Do you remember at the Triwizard Cup they had it all timed and stuff, you know, when people were going for the wizarding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet it is regulated, you know, totally.
Yeah. And I think maybe the Porky would have taken them out of the maze, so they were allowed to make a Porky out of it, so then he just changed the destination.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I've always wondered, though, is like, what was Dumbledore up to, not Dumbledore, but Voldemort and Wormtail throughout Harry's entire school year? He's just killing time somewhere. He's a moldy looking.
He was the mutant,
you know,
kid
of a snake looking thing. He doesn't just sit around
sure
and watch
he was.
TV.
He was hanging at Frank's house.
He could. He might.
What TV shows were Voldemort
the
like?
The Addams Family. That's it. Uh-huh. He's thinking about things.
I bet he's got
TV shows would he like?
I don't know why I want to say...
He loves all in the family.
Oh, yeah. Him and Archie Bunker would have got along really well.
I don't know
really
why I
want to
say
they?
Family Matters.
With Urkel?
I could totally see him watching Family Matters or like Urkel or something. Yeah. He'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah. Well, he's so quirky. Yeah, he's so quirky. I mean, he could watch like Design Man or, you know... Okay.
Well, he is a man of style. We got the black style and suit there. And, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dumbledore is the one with style.
Top chef.
Did Voldemort ever eat? Did we ever besides mutant blood from Nagini?
Yes, Harry did. Hermione
did anybody ever go to the bathroom?
Harry did.
Oh, yeah. Hermione did.
Well, obviously they are because Myrtle was always hanging out in there. I mean, I assume other than just to be...
Well, Myrtle has a thing for the toilet.
But there's a
girls'
bathroom and a boys' bathroom, so obviously they do. There's just something.
I mean, I've never read in another fiction. Oh, maybe some, but most other fiction books about people going to the bathroom. It's never really been an issue. I don't want to read about that. I'm sure it is, but it's not part of the story.
It could be very important. Well, I don't know.
That's right. He's
we've only ever heard of Harry taking one bath in his life.
50 minutes of just
scourgifying himself every
time. Well, and this is why you needed some kind of cleaning charm on the cloak, because only one bath, you know it had to be dirty.
Well, for sure.
Okay, question.
I'm tootin'.
Did J.K. Rowling, actually, I didn't remember her saying this, but did J.K. Rowling ever elaborate on the parts of the Prisoner of Azkaban film that she was concerned would reveal too much about the final two books?
What do we think they were?
No, she hasn't yet. Well, about the graveyard, I assume it had to do with the
No, there was nothing in the movie about a graveyard.
Maybe? Well, but... Oh, okay, I guess I'm thinking about when she told... Well,
where's the white tomb
going to
be?
You can't have it there because of the
graveyard. I think it's what Remus said about Lily. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a news item we're going to talk about, Mr. Quan, anyway.
Didn't he think that Lupin was gay?
Oh, golly.
I knew it.
Yes.
He had his clothes packed together in that very fastidious manner that's often associated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like,
yeah.
What does gay junkie mean?
A gay person who's been on drugs.
Oh, and the okay, actually, like, uh-huh. Okay.
Not like a person who really likes gay people.
Oh, God.
That's what I thought it meant. I was like, oh, wow, he's got, really got,
no, but, you know, that's a good question. I think you're right. It's probably about... But I thought that was kind of Clove's guess, though, too, about that whole thing about Lily and Lupin. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
What else? The show that was like, there were like two moments or something. Was it the point where Snape
was
in front of the werewolf?
Yeah, but that's it. Because that would be, that's huge, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty much Snape's function. Yes. He's protecting Harry.
You know, when you think about that, and then you realize what his rage must have been when he found out what Dumbledore had been doing all along. And you're going to let him die after everything I've done. And then you think back to that scene when here was Snape standing in front of a werewolf trying to protect this child, all those children.
Yeah.
That's when I hated Dumbledore. That's when I decided I did not like Dumbledore anymore.
Well,
he's like, what's the big deal? You killed people too, Severus.
But I love now knowing what we know about Dumbledore's great tragedy was that he loved. Look, and this guy is still the big proponent of love.
True.
You know? That's amazing. He should hate love. He should, you know.
But we all do that. I mean, let's be honest. I think most people have loved and lost, and yet you still have the ability to love later on.
Yeah.
But
when you're 115 years old, there's no sour grapes.
Well, but he was his biggest champion. It's not just that he still had the ability. You know, he was like love does everything, and in the meantime, it's responsible for his disappointment.
I still want to talk to Alan Rickman, man. Oh. That would be just the greatest interview.
Me too. Hey, podcast. My name's Katie. I'm 16. I live in Marietta, Georgia. Joe said many things about the
themes of Christianity in the books. I was wondering how you think that the Lord Mallory's of the world are going to take this and just what they're going to think about how there are Christian themes in the books and how they're going to still say that these books are anti-Christian or whatever it is they say about them. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I have to read them first.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You gotta, you know, if you won't read it, there's no hope for you.
You know, I asked Laura Mallory this question, and that was the quote that was on Pottercast was, you know, this is a very Christian book. Here's all these, you know, Harry basically asked Jesus and, you know, presented her with all this evidence. And she just said, yeah, I was told somebody would, I was told she might do that to try and make him more Jesus-like. I was like, who told you? Who? Nobody.
She's in the know.
Whoever told you was clearly an expert. Like, come on. So,
you know, I find that these books embrace the positives of Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and just about every other religion you would like to come up with. On all the positives, when you look and see beyond the obvious, you know, that it's set in a magical world, that there is these positive universal themes of love, trying to overcome prejudice and hatred, and trying to as a person grow and facing doing things that you didn't think you could do. I mean, these are universal things that we all have to come through as human beings. And I think they transcend any religion personally. And for people, you know, people are just, some people have their minds made up and they're just not going to change their minds. They're just not going to see it and they don't want to see it. And that's their choice to go through life as that. And that's the way it is. But these books, I don't know. I just get so upset because I'm like, you don't even want to try, then, you know, fine. Be on your way. I'm not going to waste my time with it. But
yeah. You
know,
I agree with Sue.
I don't know what to think. Look beyond the obvious.
Kristen's watching Doctor Who right now. She's not paying attention.
I'm
not even denying it. She's not even denying it. You hear this? She went off and she's watching Doctor Who.
I'm not watching Doctor Who.
Sure.
I was actually reading. Actually reading mail. John, someone else emailed and asked, said, I noticed we only see Harry take a bath once in the series. I swear to God.
Hey.
Do we know that he ever took baths? So.
I mean, this is a level of detail we really don't need to get into about these characters.
Do you think Harry is a bath kind of guy, or is he prefer the quick shower?
Later on, sure he is. Mm. You know. Oh, wait. Don't they say that? They're like in the Quidditch at some point? There's like a shower or something room? Or maybe that was a fan fiction thing.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
It's like almost an hour of mailbag mail.
Okay.
That's an awesome mailbag.
Yes, it is, Kristen. We're so glad you're back.
Oh, I had a good time.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks for having me
Kristen,
on.
Kristen, come around more on the next week. I'm not going to be around.
We may have to call upon the power of Special K.
Yeah.
It's pretty much going to be like, you know, playing, you know, throw in the power of so-and-so.
The power of Special K and the Roomba.
It's a very funny visual in my head.
Shazam! A bag of Zam! Kristen Zam! I don't know.
That's it. That's me.
I give up. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Hey.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Oh, it's a drum.
The last drums you'll ever hear.
Not ever. Not ever. This show still better be going up when I come back.
No, man.
I'm going to miss you.
You know what? One day, though, I'm going to sneak in a Hufflepuff show.
Uh-oh.
What's that all about?
Man, you guys are jumping in my grave real fast.
I think it would be funny if... like Melissa was out and I was out and it was just the Sue show. You can have on all your own guests and, like, they have all your own things.
It'd be awesome.
You just be like a week of like late night with Sue O'Brien, and you can have all your buddies on Hufflepuff.
And we could talk about Jason Isaacs too. I'd have the definitely the Jason segment, you know.
And then the week after that, I could have the John show.
Yeah.
And invite, you know, John and the Lettermans to come out. And
I changed my mind. I'm not leaving.
You sure?
Oh, come on.
It'll be fun.
They're like, oh, please get out of here. Please go.
After that, we can have the Mooshka show.
Known as the Parcel Tongue show.
Which would never pass through the static filter because it's nothing but
static. Oh, you just keep adding it. She's going to have some for you when you see her next. this week.
Oh, is he?
It's so funny because we picked her up and I brought her over to Bree, and she, you know, played nice with Bree when she first came in, rubbed against her, was kind of nice to her, and then I just kind of moved over and put her in front of John, and she considered him for a moment, and then she went.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Pretty much. The funny part was that after I had my turn of playing nicely with Bree, she didn't like Bree very much either.
Nope.
I had the best dream about Mushka recently.
No.
We were at a carnival, like all of us, you know, we were just having fun as like a Potter convention. And there was a dunk tank, and Mushka was in the dunk tank, and everybody was throwing baseballs and trying to raise money for literacy. And Mushka would plunge into the water every time. it was brilliant marketing because we raised like $6,000 for literacy.
Yeah,
but you're torturing her cat. You just
in his dreams, Sue.
She loved it though. It was crazy.
I bet you woke up laughing too. I bet
she pretty much did.
He probably laughed while he was sleeping as well.
If there was ever a point in my life where I wanted to draw something, it was when I woke up this morning. I don't want to remember that image.
Hey, speaking of charity.
Yes.
Charity. A third of our albums are gone.
More than
a third of the run of Jingle Spells is gone. You guys better buy them real soon.
Didn't Walmart buy a third of them?
No.
Didn't what?
Sell in their stores?
What?
Didn't Walmart buy a third of them to sell in their
stores?
Don't
say that.
We're not selling to Walmart.
Speaking of laughing in the Jingle Spells, I clicked on the PotterCast.com the other day. And I was unprepared for what saw me there. Our friend, Frack.
Oh, Frackle-puff.
And let's say this, too. Frack has put out a little vlog, which is a video vlog, everybody video blog, promoting Jingle Spells. It's a little video of him singing and sort of promotes it. And so we've opened up a challenge. Make a video promoting Jingle Spells. You can use the samples that we have on the sample site. I'll even put up a zip file of all the samples for you to just download. And you can use them on your thing. And the best 5 will get free copies. I'll actually set them aside.
That's cool.
Okay? So help us spread the word by putting up a video blog, whatever, and we will help you get some free Christmas music.
What?
Seriously, guys, there's more than a third of them are gone. By the time this comes out, almost another couple hundred will be. You better buy them real soon.
It's not even November yet, or at least when we're recording.
It's been 11 days since we started selling these CDs.
Wow.
Insanity.
Wild.
Awesome. Rock.
And we're not printing more, so get to it. Hop to it now.
We will not.
But I like how Frack goes, squeaky. That was funny.
Squeaky. Tear it up. But you guys saw it, right? You guys saw all the envelopes in my apartment this weekend?
We did. Okay.
We did.
There's going to be no room in that apartment for people packing the CDs, labels. I'm like, where's...
Just speaking of things in your apartment, I need to give a shout out to all the lovelies out there who sent us awesome, cool little things to the P.O. box lately. We never do this enough, but big props to the lovely person who sent us our own set of a house scarf and hat, which saved my butt one day in the rain out there when I had to come back from the city.
Can I tell the story? It's so true. He really did have that on. He had on the scarf and the hat, and it was like kind of like molten on the head, you know? It was just like kind of dirt. And I'm literally looking out the window of Melissa's beautiful apartment, and I look down the street, and here comes John walking up, and I just started like freaking out. I was like standing, and I wave, and I see this like kind of soggy look, John, and he caught my eye. It was so funny.
It's like, who's that soaking wet guy coming down the street with a Slytherin scarf and hat?
What's amazing is I've never been able to identify my window when I walked into the building. It's a really large building, and John, of course, looks up and sees Sue dancing in the window.
I know, it was bizarre. I was like, who is this crazy woman waving at me? I couldn't figure it out. It was crazy.
But that's the secrets of PotterCast Reveal. That's our life.
Yeah.
I was all excited. Like, look at John. And he really wearing it. And he looked awesome out there. But he was a little bit waterlogged. But, you know. Like Mushka drowned in the tub. Like on the thing of water that we were talking about.
You drowned in Mushka?
Well, you were talking about whipping her in a pile of water. You know?
The dunk tank. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Well, there's John out there all
the best part of it was is how big of a trooper she was. And she climbed up on that thing every time.
Uh-huh.
She was just sitting there waiting for it to hit her again.
Yeah, but that sounds like Mushka.
She was a trooper.
Yeah.
Well, it was either that or her struggling for air.
So cruel.
I hate you. I'm not going to miss that.
Cats don't appreciate the water. Anyway, is this the best we can do this week, guys?
I don't know. I mean, after all, you know, it's been a long week for us. I mean, we had that amazing, marvelous, I'm still...
I know. Like, remember back when we said, hey, Joe, you should listen to the show.
Yeah.
Let's encourage her to, like, skip this week.
Yeah.
And listen next week.
She'd be like, you encourage cruelty to
She's
animals.
Like, this is why you so plastered podcast stickers over everything you gave me?
So I can hear
that was one big bag of leaky copyright infringement all over the place.
That's what we do best.
Well, it is what we do best.
She said the word Hufflepuff. It's canon, baby. Yeah, Hufflepuff and Leaky Cauldron.
Hufflepuff is canon.
It's her word.
No, I know, but it's...
She wrote the word Hufflepuff.
It's canon that a Hufflepuff would be in the Leaky Cauldron. I'm just saying.
They were
it's
still
Do you think they're not allowed?
Oh, my gosh. No Hufflepuff's allowed.
Do they check at the door to what house you are?
No, I don't know, but I'm just saying that
so
lady.
Funny.
I bet she redecorated and made it, like,
what's funny is that he
crazy
lives
gaudy.
Hub, so he has to go walk out of Hogwarts every day and apparate down to London. You know, I guess you can. Yeah. Whatever. Funny though.
Do you think Neville like hangs out at the Leaky Cauldron now and just, you know?
Well, but do they live there?
Cognac,
I
mean, and
I guess they do live there. There's been plenty of evidence of teachers showing up in the middle of the night editing or whatever. So 9 months of the year he lives at Hogwarts.
It would be cool.
She's operating up there.
Because he could hold, like, herbology like classes and stuff, you know, like little reading sessions in the pub.
No,
I would
he
imagine,
can't because they have to travel down there.
They need a dang greenhouse.
Well, maybe they built one out back.
Where's out back?
So they'd have to travel to London.
Yeah. Not Hogsmeade.
I know, but still.
They have to take the train just for one class?
Well, maybe they have a commuter marriage, you know? I mean, people, he lives up somewhere during the week.
Oh, she could probably apparate up, you know?
Yeah.
Like distance learning?
You know, I mean, because a lot of, you know, head bartenders aren't there like 24/7. I mean, she could have like, I'll be the backup one and evening. I'll take the evening shift and she can go be with Neville.
Because that must be real hard. Bars are open late, you know?
I've closed many a bar. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
On this note.
Okay, guys.
Sleepy time.
To say goodbye.
Sorry, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We'll miss you, Melissa. We'll miss you.
I'll be listening when I need a break from craziness. But it's not crazy, crazy.
But the real fun begins next week, guys.
And it's funny, I have something relating to book that I've been leaving notes to myself to ask about on podcast, and I keep forgetting. So I'll find it, and then I'll ask one of you guys to do it for me, and you never will.
If you want to take Melissa's place for the next few weeks, draw us your best fan art interpretation of Mooshka in the dunk tank.
To
send them to John at the Leaky Cauldron.
Somebody count how many times I've said I hate John this episode. It's going to be off the charts.
Yeah.
John, if I killed you as many times in the world that I said I did...
Hey, your cats come close.
It'd be a miracle of modern science.
This is true.
More than nine.
All right. Well,
goodbye, everybody.
Have fun. I'll see you in the wintertime.
Later.
We've missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
6 podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. The show was edited by Steed, Hildy, Samantha, and Liz. Thanks to Steve Vanderart for joining us for Canon Conclusions. Thanks to our Scribby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.